Coming to you today from the Foundry Bar and Kitchen and Bar right across the street from the studios of AM 930 WEOL, shining the spotlight on Elyria. Having a great time doing so. And again, we'll be here until 6:30 tonight. Andy Bulbarch, Matt Douglas with you for Bullseye on the afternoon here on AM 930 WEOL. David Sprouse is back in studio control holding the fort down. And boy, David's just a stone's throw away.
He's right there. Yeah, we can probably see him if he waves through the window. Well, he'd have to get on the other side, but we can almost see him.
Well, if you have a rocket for an arm like Matt Douglas,
that's true.
You can actually throw that rock right through the windows of our offices and land it directly in.
Well, in my day, I could throw a football right on the money. Coach would only put me in. We'd won state.
Well, he could put the ball wherever he would like. He was all state and as a senior, and you know, he could make it rain out there if you wanted to. So. Matt Douglas, Andy Bulbarch with you. We're joined now by Lisa Roberson with the Chronicle Telegram and the Medina Gazette, right? We can combine the two now, right?
We can definitely combine the two.
It's like 100% official, isn't it now?
I just drove from Medina, so it's 100% official.
Is it raining down in Medina today?
It's a little sprinkled right now. It rained earlier today.
All right. Well,
they moved the 9/11 memorial inside because of the rain.
All right. Well, we'll get into that here in just a little bit, but I would imagine we'll probably hear a lot more about that. I mean, I would imagine with the forecast being what it is the next couple days here, too, things could get pretty nasty if we get any effects of Hurricane Florence, which is expected to touch land here in the next couple days. But, boy, a lot of things to discuss this week. Things very, very busy in Elyria. And, boy, ranging from folks having all kinds of success to the transplant games to the elevating costs of repaving 113-57, which was a little bit expected. But I want to begin with the naming rights to the brand new Ely Stadium. You would have alluded to this about a week or two back, talking about how Mercy Health was going to get in on the action, but there were some folks wondering why university hospitals were not involved with the naming rights process.
Yes, including everyone in our newsroom as we were kind of looking into this story last week to figure out what happened at the hospital. It just came down to, one hospital responded faster than the other, and everyone got a chance to bid, and one bid one over the other, and so now we have Mercy Health Field at Ely Stadium.
It worked pretty quickly. I kind of thought that it might, though. Anytime you have a new stadium, getting the naming rights usually isn't too tough of a thing to get because people want to be a part of that. You're a part of the community, and your name's on this gigantic, new, awesome facility as well. So it sounded like this all went down pretty fast, didn't it?
Yes. Sponsor Burst, which is the marketing company that the Elyria Schools is contracted with, they hire them in June. So between June and end of August is how they went moving on this to find a sponsor for the stadium. So the stadium is going to be a sponsorship with Mercy Health, and you're going to get $350,000 over 10 years. So this is a good win for the district. They can use this money to put it back into the project. You know, as you guys know, turf fields do need to be replaced. You know, 5-7 years out, we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars to replace this. So they will need this money.
Well, no doubt about that. And I mean, the beauty of going with turf is that you can play 185,000 games on this thing throughout the course of, like you said, 5 to 7 years. In some cases, if the turf holds up well enough, you can get 10 years out of it. But you're right, with the field that has to go into it in order to maintain it and keep it up, it's certainly going to cost some money. Not only that, but look, it's a facility. Facilities end up needing upgrades, and you need work done to it too. So all of that certainly helps.
Again, and this is only phase one of that facility. Yeah. This is going to be multi-sports, and so they want to make sure they can bring baseball and softball to that facility, so they're going to continue to need money for phase two. And I believe that they've put the ballpark at phase two between $3 to $4 million that they need to raise, and they've told taxpayers that they will not go to them for that money, that they will find the money within a district and then the community by raising the funds. And so these sponsorships go towards that as well.
Is that what the school, have they officially said, look, we hope we're intending to use the money to basically keep upkeep, I guess, at the stadium?
Yeah, they said they put the money. Money will go into the general fund, but from their general fund, they know that that portion is allocated to the facility.
That's cool.
Well, I think they might just knock on Mac Douglas's door. $3 or $4 million is nothing to him. He makes that, every couple
That's
weeks?
Why I got in radio, so I can make those big bucks.
Clearly. Those were early numbers. They can possibly tweak that because when they did phase one came in a lot better than they expected, so they were able to do the tennis courts. They thought the tennis courts were going to go into phase two. So now that, our five schools are back on track and the first phase of the stadium is open, now they can kind of go back to the plan and look at it and see exactly how much is going to be needed to do phase two.
For those who haven't seen this, one, you can check out the Forecast magazine and see it, but literally everything sports-wise is going to be in this one general area, from baseball, softball, tennis,
soccer, name it, it's going to be there.
Very cool stuff. Again, Lisa Roberson with the Chronicle-Telegram and the Medina Gazette, our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon on our local beat with Lisa. It's brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Speaking of, Jim Vandermark will be here at the Foundry Kitchen and Bar a little bit later on today. He'll join us in the 5 o'clock hour. And, boy, there are some other cool stories that came down the pipe this week. I was reading the one today about this gentleman, Edward Gayton, at the transplant games. Boy, what a really cool story. He went to Salt Lake City, and he came back to Elyria with a couple of medals.
Absolutely. I think he had one. It was a silver medal, and so that was a great thing. I love the story of how he... he had to get a transplant. He had to get a new liver. But now that he's back and he's trying to get back into shape and he wants to give back, and he's been volunteering at the Cleveland Clinic and trying to help people through this process that he's gone through. So this is seems to be a really inspiring story for me.
Yeah, and that was one of my biggest takeaways also, the fact that he wants to give back. And I think what he continues to mention throughout the course of the article was like, look, I'm lucky because I was healthy enough to receive a transplant. Not everybody is that lucky. And he mentioned, look, not everybody is that blessed. But he said, because of me being as fortunate as I am to get this transplant, I want to find ways to give back and essentially give hope to people who are in a tough position, the one he was in not too long ago. Everybody's got a story when it comes to something like this. But to see him persevere like this, and not only persevere, but also give back, that's really one of the coolest parts of this story.
Yeah, and I, of course, he seems to be a very athletic guy, seeing how he was down in the hospital's exercise room within days of his transplant. So he knew that he wanted to keep his body in tip-top shape and get back out there. And so when this transplant games came around, he jumped on it, and he seems to be doing really great.
Yeah, he came back with two medals, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
Nothing wrong with that.
Shot put in Texas Hold'em, I believe, was the bronze. Am I wrong on that?
Yeah, he's been, 6 hours playing in Texas Hold'em.
Look, you spend your time 6 hours sitting down, that's going to wear anybody out. It's a well-deserved medal there.
6 hours playing Texas Hold'em.
A lot of focus involved in that.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, I'll tell you what, man. I didn't know they gave away medals at the transplant games for Texas Hold'em, but that is pretty cool when you think about it, because those games, I'm sure, generate a great deal of interest and certainly a great deal of publicity for those who have actually withstood some of that. So I think that's really, really cool that he got the chance to come back with a couple of medals. Want to get into the elevating costs of repaving 113 and 57, and it sounds like, at least for now, it's not a huge concern just yet, but it sounds like this could really blossom into something a little bit bigger. But look, if you've driven down 113 and you've driven down 57, you know it's only a matter of time. Those roads do need repaving.
Yes. And so this started out as an urban paving project. And so the project for the city share was going to be about $320,000. But there was something that was not included in that project, and that was guardrails. We're talking like the double center guardrails, not the ones on the slopes of that railway. And so they've been around for decades, and they're old, and they are deteriorating, and they need to be replaced. But this was not something that was part of the original budget project for the project. And the city has to take care of that cost. And so that's the reason why this several hundred thousand dollars attached to that.
Wow. Well, today we mentioned we're coming to you from the Foundry for our spotlight on Elyria. And I know this is one of your hot spots. You love coming to the Foundry. It's a great place. What does Lisa Roberson usually get when she comes to the Foundry?
Well, Lisa likes the martini specials. She also likes the poutine, which is like the French fries with the cheese and the gravy and the egg on it.
Wow.
I love to come on Monday since I can have my Monday burger because it's $5 for a burger.
Yeah.
They have good specials.
Yeah, they've got some really good stuff here.
They got some wonderful stuff at this place. So you come here on Mondays. I come here on Fridays when I'm getting ready for a high school football game. This is where I take my lunch break. I'll hunker down and I'll go over some names and numbers and things of that nature. And Matt Douglas is here Monday through Friday for a variety of different reasons, but we'll dive into that later. This, of course, is a very special day, a momentous day in the history of our country, 9/11, 17 years ago today. Do you remember where you were and what all was going down when the event took place?
Yes, it was a Tuesday. I was a college student at that time. I had a young daughter. She was only about 2 years old. We were at home on that day, and I thought today's show was running a clip from a movie, and I was like, oh, I wonder what movie's playing. And then as moments pass, you realize it's not a movie and it's the real thing, and your heart just sinks into your stomach because you're just that sick.
And it was weird, too. It's crazy how you mentioned that you think you're watching a movie, because I felt like the same images were on every single TV station. Like, there was nothing else. Like, you couldn't escape that. I mean, everybody talks about how sometimes if you turn the TV on at night and you watch the local news, you get to, like, that fourth story and you're like, man, this is depressing. I want to turn on something else. That day, there was nothing else to turn on because you couldn't escape from that. I mean, like you said, everybody was glued to a TV somehow, some way. Like you, I was in college at the time also, and I remember they had canceled classes the second half of that day.
Wow.
But when we got back to the apartment, I mean, you couldn't pull away from it because you kept hearing new news, and you weren't sure if it was true or not, like what these stories they were telling you. And to me, the hardest thing was like trying to process all that, because we talked about this in our opening segment. I mean, back then, if you were lucky, you had a cell phone. I want to say one in every three or four kids at Bowling Green had a cell phone, but like, they were just emergency tools to use. They weren't necessarily something you could just pick up and look at social media and find out what was happening either. So it's crazy how the times have changed. But like back then, you had to rely on everything you were watching.
Yes. And then the news was coming out, and it was so devastating. And there were so many local ties. You know, you had the plane that looped over downtown Cleveland. You know, at the time, my mother worked in downtown Cleveland. So there was that worry of what's going to happen to this plane. We have a relative who worked in the Pentagon at the time. So, you know, was she working this day? Was she home? There was all of these things we wanted to know what happened to her, you know. Yeah, come to find out that she had, you know, was not in the building, so that was a blessing for our family. But you know, so many other families were just devastated that day.
Yeah, that was a wild day, and again, one I'm sure we're never going to forget, because, well, as Matt mentioned earlier, you know, for our generation, that was our JFK assassination. You know, that was our, you know, man landing on the moon, like that. That was our marquee moment in history that, you know, we'll never forget, because, you know, while we may not have actually been a part of it, you know, witnessing that kind of sent shockwaves, because I think, to me anyways, that was one of the first times I ever felt like, even though I was nowhere near anything that happened, you still kind of felt like you weren't 100% safe.
Yeah. You felt like it was happening to you, too. And when you say, where were you at? In my mind, I can visualize exactly how my living room looked, exactly how I was watching television, exactly what my daughter was doing when, you know, she's 2.5 and she's playing. I remember that day exactly how it happened.
Yeah, it's wild how, you're right, 17 years later, everybody knows exactly what was happening, and there are just so many details that you can remember vividly. It's crazy how all these years later, we can still remember that. Well, we're going to be in your neck of the woods tomorrow.
We're
down in Medina tomorrow at the first annual block party. It'll be at Life Care Center of Medina. Joe Tate's going to be there. Should be a blast tomorrow, so maybe we'll see you down in Medina tomorrow.
Maybe. I've been looking forward to having some Medina events so I can get an accounting and kind of meet the people so they can meet their new managing editor, the Medina County Gazette, and so I can see all of the wonderful people and learn some good things about the community.
Very good stuff. Well, if this is up your alley, I don't know. There's a hot dog bar, funnel cakes, there's pizza, there's cotton candy, all kinds of good stuff down there.
You can twist my arm with that
right,
one.
No kidding.
Good stuff.
Whose alley isn't that up? I mean, everybody loves that stuff.
I agree. I mean, a hot dog bar? You kidding me?
No, I love a good hot dog bar.
Who doesn't?
You can't go wrong with a hot dog bar. All right, good stuff. Lisa, we appreciate the time as always, and we're hoping to squeeze one more week on it. Maybe we'll have you back in again next week.
Maybe. You know, we're still trying to figure out what's going to happen with the Illyria coverage for the Chronicle-Telegram. I've been talking to a lot of people still. So I'm still in the community. I still live here in Illyria. But we're transitioning to me to be Medina full-time.
Jim Vandermark's going to be here in the 5 o'clock hour. He's going to try and keep you here as long as he possibly can, because he loves having you a part of the segment. So hopefully we'll do this again next week, Lisa. Thanks for joining us as always.
Thanks for having me.
Lisa Roberson with the Chronicle-Telegram and the Medina Gazette. Our local beat with Lisa is brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers, right down the street from here on Broad Street, right across from the hospital, a trusted name in jewelry. And we're going to hear more from Jim Vandermark when he joins us at 5:40 today. It's Bullseye on the Afternoon, out on location from the Foundry Kitchen and Bar here in downtown Elyria on AM 930 WEOL.